Amen, Grove. So good to worship with you. And by the way, can I just brag on our Grove worship? Because yes, we love them. But that song Surrounding Me that we just sang a minute ago, Andrea wrote that and recorded it with Josh right here at the Grove. So we're blessed. All right, so this month we're in a series we titled Creed. And it's a study of what we believe as followers of Jesus Christ. We're using the Apostles' Creed, making our way through it, taking statements from it to remind us what is important to us as followers of Christ. And so today we come to this very important statement, this big statement that says, I believe in the Holy Spirit. And so today I want to remind you of the work and the power of the Holy Spirit. One of the last things that Jesus said before he left earth was, he said in Acts chapter 1, he said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. It's this simple statement. But then, sure enough, you turn over one page in your Bible in Acts chapter 2, we read that this New Testament church, the Holy Spirit comes. And this New Testament church is filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And it spreads like wildfire. And the church is taken off and it's on fire with the power of the Holy Spirit, right? And then we turn to the book of Revelation. Just 60 years later, John the Apostle is writing Revelation and Jesus is speaking to seven churches. And to the church in Laodicea, he says, because you are lukewarm. He says, you're not hot or cold. He says, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. So this is just 60 years after receiving the Holy Spirit. The church already has become lukewarm and it's not on fire with the fire of the Holy Spirit anymore. And we all know that we all hate lukewarm things, right? Nobody wants lukewarm soup. You don't want lukewarm coffee. You don't want to get in a lukewarm jacuzzi. You don't want a lukewarm apple pie from McDonald's, right? You want it blazing lava hot, all right? That's just how life is. But what happened in the church in Laodicea, where John says, and Jesus says, you have become lukewarm, it happens, not in this church, in other churches. There are Christians in other churches that have lost their Holy Spirit fire. And today, I want to reintroduce you and remind you of the power and the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that you live filled with this power. In Francis Chan's book, Crazy Love, he makes a list of, speaking of lukewarm, he makes a list of lukewarm people, all right? It's a little bit in your grill, so don't take offense. He's not writing straight to you, just kind of. But he says this. He says, lukewarm people love to attend church when it's convenient. All right. He says, lukewarm people give to their church and to God as long as they can still have everything they want. Lukewarm people get fired up about stories about radical people who do incredible things for God, but they will not act. Lukewarm people rarely tell their coworkers or neighbors or friends about Jesus Christ because they don't want to be rejected or viewed as a radical. Lukewarm people say they love Jesus, but only give him a fraction of their attention and possessions. Lukewarm people love other people who agree with them, look like them, and act like them. Lukewarm people are willing to serve as long as it does not cost them too much time, money, and energy. Lukewarm people are thankful for their possessions and comfort and luxuries, but rarely see it as God's means to end poverty or meet the needs of the poor. And I just want to say today that Jesus gives us a cure for lukewarmness, doesn't he? He said if lukewarmness is the problem, then the fire, the power of the Holy Spirit is what we need. So our text today is Acts chapter 2. And in Acts chapter 2, we read about this Holy Spirit coming among the new believers. So grab your Bibles. I'm going to start, and our text today will be the entire chapter. On the day of Pentecost, on the day Pentecost was being fulfilled, all the disciples were gathered in one place. Suddenly, they heard the sound of a violent blast of wind rushing into the house from out of the heavenly realm. The roar of the wind was so overpowering. It was all anyone could bear. Then all at once, A pillar of fire appeared before their eyes. It separated into tongues of fire that engulfed each one of them, and they were all filled and equipped with the Holy Spirit. So I want to start with this thought today, that in the same way that God sent the Holy Spirit on Christians 2,000 years ago, you are filled with the Spirit. Don't ever forget that. You have this supernatural power from the Spirit of God. And this is my first challenge for you to take in and absorb this idea that you have this Holy Spirit power in your life. Just like Jesus promised 2,000 years ago, that promise is still alive for you today, that you receive power from His Spirit. I think all of us forget it. And at times, He reminds us in the most amazing ways. The third time I took college students to Cuba, I took a band with me. And I knew that they loved music in Cuba, so I thought I'll take a band. But we needed religious visas. I had been taking basketball teams. This time it was a band. And so I applied for our religious visas, and there was a pastor in Havana that was helping me get our visas, and he promised to meet us at the airport with our visas. And so we get to the airport in Havana. I'm looking for this pastor. We're still behind immigration because we can't get through, and I can't find him. He's not anywhere. I start calling his house. No answer. And so finally, I go to the immigration officers. I explain, hey, the pastor with our visas is not here. They said, well, you can't enter the country. I said, well, what are we supposed to do? They said, well, you can sleep right here where you are behind immigration and tomorrow get on that same plane back to Costa Rica that you came on. And I was like, no. And so I went to our musicians. I said, all right, play music. Maybe that'll do something. And I said, everybody else, we got to pray. And after about 15 minutes, one of the immigration officers came up to me. He says, hey, you know, maybe there's a way around this. He said, I can grant you visitor's visas and you can get in the country, but you can't visit churches. You can't preach. Your musicians can't play their music in churches. I said, all right, just get us in because it was like midnight now. So he gives us our visas. We go in the next day. I found out our pastor on the way to the airport, his car had a flat tire, but he didn't have the visas. He said they hadn't granted them. So all morning we're calling, trying to get these religious visas so that our band could play that night. And while we're waiting, we went to visit a Cuban seminary, and there are about 50 pastors there. So we shared our need with them. So together with these 50 pastors and 20 of us, we're on our knees praying, we're worshiping. And in the middle of this prayer time, asking God to give us these visas, I hear a phone ring in the office of the seminary. And then they come in and someone called for Pastor Labastida. He was our host. And so Pastor Labastida goes to the office, takes a phone call, and then about 5 minutes later, he comes back. I said, Pastor Labastida, who was that? Who was that? He said, well, it was someone from immigration. He said, it was a really strange phone call. I said, well, did they grant us our visas? He said, well, not really. He said, but all they said was, the strong man says you can do your concerts. All right? I said, so what's that mean? He says, we're doing our concerts. I said, well, who's a strong man? He said, I don't have any idea. I'll tell you who the strong man is. The strong man is the Spirit of God, all right? The Spirit of God, the strong man has spoken. We can applaud that because that same strong man is there for you, and we forget that, and we give up, and we think we're weak. And I want to say today, I want to remind you as we start, you don't live weak anymore. And maybe you have felt like a weak leader, or you felt like a weak parent, or maybe you've been a weak friend, or maybe you've been a weak student, or you've been a weak employee, or even a weak Christian. I want to say, no, you are not weak anymore. You have the strong man, the power of the strong man living in you. This was a story of the New Testament church. When Acts 2 opens, the first page we read, all the believers had huddled together in a room. They were hiding. The Romans wanted to kill them. The Jews wanted to kill them. Everybody hated them. So they're hiding. They're huddling and hiding. And then what happens? The Holy Spirit comes, and they come alive, full of fire. I had this key idea on the screen this morning, and I have too many Christians, Christ followers, are living apathetic, spiritually weak lives. Today, if you feel defeated or overwhelmed, remember you are promised supernatural power from the Spirit of God. As I say that, let me ask you a question. Is there anyone in the room today? Is there anyone here with trouble in your life? Probably. All of us. Is there anyone here in this room who feels overwhelmed right now? Is there anyone in this room who feels weak? Is that you? I want to remind you, you will receive power. Jesus didn't say you'll receive further instructions, or Jesus didn't say I'm going to send you some doctrinal information. Jesus didn't say I'm mailing you a church planting handbook. He didn't say any of that. He said, I'm sending you Holy Spirit fire power. And that's what you have. I think there's so many Christians that forget that. He says, buckle up. He said, you think the last 3 years were something? All right. They were nothing. He said, what's coming next is fire from God himself for your life. And this is exactly what happened. So if we move down in our text, move to verse 14, that's when Peter stood up. And backed by the other 11, so he's got this crowd of people behind him, he spoke with bold urgency. I love that line. He spoke with bold power. He says, fellow Jews, all of you who are visiting Jerusalem, listen carefully and get this story straight. These people aren't drunk, as some of you suspect. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. This is what the prophet Joel announced. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit. And that's what was happening. On every kind of people, your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Old men will dream dreams. And then the time will come and I will pour out my spirit on those who serve me, men and women. So Jesus is saying, I'm sending you a power booster. I'm sending you the strong one. And maybe, like I said, you have felt weak. And I want to say, you need to realize that in the same way the Christians received the power of the Spirit 2,000 years ago, so do you. Maybe right now you're facing something very big in your life. You're facing something very important and you feel overwhelmed. You feel so overwhelmed, you feel weak. And I want to say, no, realize you have power from the Spirit of God. Even as a pastor, I'm going to be straight with you. I'm going to be honest. There are days when I feel very weak and I forget that I have, like you, like we all have, this power from the Holy Spirit. On June 1st, I felt very weak because on June 1st, I finally committed to trying to do what I knew we needed to do for our new college. So we have this brand new college, Justice College. We had just finished our first year of school, but we had 50 athletes that use our gym. We have 50 basketball players, men and women, and volleyball players. And for a year, for our first school, they'd been playing on carpet. And they had been pleading with me, please, Palmer, can we have a wood floor? Is that humanly possible? So on June 1st, I finally committed to try to build a wood floor. And I got an estimate. I got a price on it, $80,000. It felt so impossible. And so I made a list of the names of 40 friends. I didn't feel like I could bring that number to the church because I thought there's nothing spiritual about a wood floor. You know, it's kind of a carnal request. It's essential. Don't get me wrong. Maybe there's something spiritual about basketball and volleyball, but I thought I just needed to reach out to friends. And so on June 1st, I wrote a letter and reached out to 40 friends and family. And I thought, maybe if 40 friends come together, something can happen. That's an average of like $2,000 each, right? If you have good friends, that might happen. And I remember sending out those letters that I wrote, and then I got on a plane for Africa. There were 60 of us from the Grove and Justice College that went to Africa, and I left for 2 weeks. And for 2 weeks, I felt weak. Every time I thought about this project, I thought, man, I'm going to come back, and this feels so impossible. It didn't feel like $80,000. It felt like $80 million. And can I tell you what happened when I got back 2 weeks later? All $80,000 had been covered and spoken for. Can I tell you that? And I'll tell you, it's one of those moments when God said to me, Palmer, don't forget, there's Holy Spirit power at this, in my church here, the Grove. There's, the Holy Spirit is working in people's lives. There is no way I could have done this, but God himself can rally people and these kinds of things happen. So I want to remind you today, if you feel weak, in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, Paul writes, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. And I don't know what is causing your weakness today, but I want to remind you that the Holy Spirit fills you with power. If you are fighting an addiction and feel weak, ask for Holy Spirit power. If you have been sick, ask for Holy Spirit power. If you have been struggling as a parent, ask for Holy Spirit power. All right, here's a second reminder for you today of what the Holy Spirit does for us. With Holy Spirit fire, you have guiding power. One of the great truths of Scripture, of what the Holy Spirit does in your life, is that the Bible reminds us over and over that the Holy Spirit guides you in life. Jesus tells us that. In Acts chapter 8, we read about Philip. In Acts chapter 8, we read that the Spirit spoke to Philip and said, go south to the desert road. And Philip listens, and he does that. Maybe the Spirit speaks to you, and you don't go south to the desert road. But the Spirit of God speaks to us if you're listening. And so Philip hears the Spirit say, go south to the desert. He goes there. He meets an Ethiopian. He leads him to Jesus Christ. I think the Spirit of God is speaking to you like that all the time. The question is, are you listening? I think the Spirit of God speaks through your godly friends around you. They speak truth into your life. Are you listening to them? The Spirit speaks through other godly people. I think the Spirit of God speaks through Scripture. This is why we keep saying, read your Bible, pick it up in the morning. The Spirit of God is speaking to you when you listen. I think the Spirit of God speaks through opportunity that he gives you. I think God opens doors and he gives you opportunities. And those are opportunities like the Spirit saying, step this way, go this direction. We read in the Bible that the Spirit of God, when he speaks, it's not a loud shout. It's a very quiet whisper, and he speaks to your soul all the time. Sometimes you listen, sometimes you don't. I'm learning. The older I get, I'm learning. In fact, he'll whisper people's names now, and I write down their name on a post-it note at my desk, and it stays there till I reach out to him because I know the Holy Spirit is whispering. Sometimes we listen, sometimes we don't. A number of years ago, after I'd been teaching at African Bible College in Malawi, I felt like God was saying, it's time to go back into the pastorate. And so Veronica and I were looking for the right opportunity for me to go back to for a place for us to move to. And so when I was in Africa, I felt the Spirit of God, I sensed he was whispering, go to Chandler. But I'm going to be honest with you. When I heard go to Chandler, I thought maybe, you know, that if I go to Chandler, it means planting a church. And planting a church is a lot of stinking work. So I wasn't too sure. So I sent out a bunch of letters and emails to friends, pastor friends, and friends in the church business to see maybe the Spirit was leading me somewhere else. And sure enough, there was a church in Wheaton that answered back and said, hey, we're looking for a pastor. And so we went to Wheaton. We met with this church. They had 700 people. I thought, oh man, that's so much better than planting a church. You know how easy it'd be to get a church going with 700 people? You know, that's low-hanging fruit right there. That's a layup. Just get out of bed. And so I met with them, but as we're meeting, I remember at lunch with some of their leaders, I felt the Spirit of God saying, go to Chandler. The next week, there was a church in San Jose that reached out to us. They said, we're a turnaround church, and we really need to get this church off the ground. We think you can do it. And so we flew out to San Jose, and they offered me a salary. I'd never ask about what a position would pay, but they said, we're paying $90,000. I was like, $90,000? That was more than double that I had ever made as a pastor. And then on top of that, they said, houses are very expensive in San Jose. We'll give you $200,000 towards your down payment. You talk about temptation, you know, temptation right there. That's like the Holy Spirit yelling in your ear, say yes. But as we're meeting with him, I just felt like, I clearly heard the Spirit keep saying, go to Chandler, you know, go to Chandler. So as hard as it was, we left San Jose behind and we came to Chandler. And when we got here, I felt so much peace, so much clarity. I felt the Holy Spirit clearly saying, stay in Chandler. So even though I didn't have a job, even though there was no church, there was no growth, we bought a house. And by faith, 20 years later, here we are. You know, hey, I'm glad I'm here. Thank you. I'm super excited to be here. But I'm telling you, the Spirit of God is whispering those words to you every day, every day. And the question is, are you listening? Are you ignoring the still small voice as he's speaking? Because you can ignore him. Sometimes he's whispering simple things. Make the phone call. Or it's so small. Give him a word of encouragement today at work. Or the Spirit will whisper, forgive her. Or give him another chance. Or the Spirit will say, don't take another drink. Or the Spirit will whisper, give it away, all of it, not just some of it. Or the Spirit will whisper, invite them into your house. Barbecue today with them. Show her more love. The Holy Spirit gives you guiding power. All right, here's the next challenge that I have for you. With Holy Spirit fire, you have peace, love, and joy power. So I didn't feel like we could talk about the Holy Spirit today and what he does in our lives without talking about what Paul calls the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit simply means the evidence of the Spirit, what the Spirit of God does in our lives. And Paul says this, Galatians 5:22, the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I want to remind you that these three words that I have on the screen, love, joy, peace, they're very big words because that's the kind of person that the Holy Spirit makes you. You can't be a person of peace, love, and joy on your own, but with the Holy Spirit in me, in you, yes, you can. Because you, I think we forget this, you are meant to be a person of peace and blessing in your neighborhood. You are meant to be a person of joy and blessing in your workplace. You know, you're meant to be a person of love and blessing among your friends. And not just a little bit of love and a little bit of peace and a little bit of joy. My challenge to you is to have the most joy, to have the most peace, to have the most love of anyone around you in your workplace, in your neighborhood, that people see that. And only the Holy Spirit can do that for you. And I tell you what, I've seen maybe this year more than any other year that this world, our country needs peace, love, and joy than any time in our history. Because there's a lot of angry, cranky people out there. You know that? There's a lot of people like that. And they, I guarantee they don't have the Spirit of God in them. It's just not there. There's a lot of people filled with cursing and anger, not blessing. I read an article this week about the COO of Beyond Meat. Now, if you don't know what Beyond Meat, they make a product. I guess it's kind of like meat, kind of tastes like meat, all right? Kind of fools you into thinking you're eating meat. Anyway, so the CEO of Beyond Meat, he's leaving a college football game last Saturday. Somebody he feels cuts him off in the parking lot. So he gets out of his car, pulls this guy out of his car, beats him down, and then he bites the tip of his nose off. This is in the story. I'm not making this up. My opinion, he's craving protein. That I'm just being honest. Needs a little bit of vitamin. Okay. Thank you. That took a little work, but it was there. All right. But here's the thing. Guarantee there's no Holy Spirit, peace, love, and joy in that man's life right now. But there's enough of those kinds of people at work. You know them. You have clients like that. You have neighbors like that. What if you were known by everyone around you as a person that's blessing your coworkers with your words of encouragement, your words of peace, and your words of joy? That's my challenge to you. All right, one final challenge today. With Holy Spirit power, we have collective fire. We have collective church power. All right, I think sometimes we can forget that as a church, We have mass and momentum to do incredible things in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's go back to Acts. We started at verse 1 in Acts chapter 2. I'm down at verse 44. All the believers were together and had everything in common, and they sold property and possessions to give to everyone who had need. Every day they met together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So we read here that this new church, they gave everything away. They shared everything. They had this mass and momentum to start doing great things in the name of Jesus Christ. I think sometimes we forget that collectively as God's people, when we pull our resources, when we pull our know-how, when we pull our abilities, when we pull our contacts, we can do amazing, impossible things. Maybe you don't know this, but over the last 15 months, you, as a part of the Grove, you've done something impossible. I mentioned Justice College a few minutes ago. You've started a college. Do you know how impossible it is to start a college? In 2 days, on Tuesday, our academic dean, Donlin, and I, we go before our accreditation commission to be considered for accreditation. I think, God willing, it's going to happen. Will you pray for us on Tuesday? All right, thank you. It's happening. You've started a college. There, churches that start colleges, it's not one in a million in our, it's probably one in 100 million that start a college. It's just not a small thing, but you have done it. Over the last 3 years, as we've been preparing to start this college, and we're just a year and 2 months into it, 3 months into it, so many people said, well, Palmer, where are you getting a faculty? You can't just start a college. Where you have to have a faculty. I said, oh, you don't worry about that. I said, we have brilliant people at the Grove. And can I tell you, so as I was thinking about how impossible it's been, can I tell you about our faculty? We have 12 brilliant Grovers on our teaching faculty right now, 12. And can we applaud them for their efforts? I love what they do every week here. And they're just not any kind of professors. We have PhDs. We have lawyers. We have professional educators. We have the most brilliant teaching staff that I think of any college in our state. And we have it at Justice College. We are blessed. And you have been a part of this. I just say that to remind you that the most impossible things, when we have collective church power to do those things. When you look at this early church, they were in a room, like I said, at the top of Acts chapter 2, we read, they were huddled together in a room. They were afraid. Like I said, the Romans wanted to kill them. The Jews wanted to kill them. So they're just huddling together. And I think sometimes churches get like that. Christians think the purpose of the church is just to huddle together on Sunday morning, and it's not. It's like a football team. What if a football team had a really great huddle? The question is that enough? For example, on Thursday night, the Cardinals were playing New Orleans Saints. We had an amazing game, by the way. And what if during that game, what if Eno Benjamin came back to the huddle and he says, hey guys, he said, listen, every time you give me the ball, that big Cam Jordan from Chandler High School, he's knocking me on my rear. And what if Eno said, could we just stay in the huddle? You know, what if he said that? And what if some of the old linemen said, you know, that's a great idea. So what if all of the Cardinals players just held hands in the huddle and stay there and they started to sing show tunes and tell jokes? What if they had the greatest huddle ever, greatest huddle in the NFL? What if you're watching them in that huddle and they're never coming out because it's so good in the huddle and you were at the game and they keep getting delay of game penalties? What would you be shouting from the sidelines? You would be yelling at him, get back in the game. You can't stay. Everybody knows you don't go to a football game. You don't play in a football game to stay in a huddle. That's not where it's happening. But you know there's a lot of people that go to other churches, not the Grove Church, but people that go to other churches that think the entire goal of the church is to have a great huddle, all right? And it's not. I love our huddle. I love our time together. But our time, we come together, and then you are sent out with the power of the Holy Spirit to change this city, to change this world in the name of Jesus Christ. We are. And I tell you what, the world is watching and waiting. They're watching us. They're looking at Christians in their huddle. And you know what? They don't give a rip how great our huddle is. But they are asking, they're saying, when are you going to come out of your huddle? Are you going to come out of your huddle and are you going to care about hurting marriages? Are you going to come out of your huddle and do something to end racism? Are you going to come out of your huddle and help high schoolers who are struggling with mental health and anxiety? Are you going to come out of your huddle and do something about everybody who's fighting an addiction? Are you going to come out of your huddle and end the poverty in our country and love homeless people and love the foreigners? Is that going to happen? I want to say that when Jesus Christ broke the huddle 2,000 years ago and he filled that huddle, that room, with the Holy Spirit, people saw a new kind of not just church, but a new kind of humanity. The Holy Spirit was so alive and working so powerfully that when Christians came out of the huddle, they started care for hurting people. They started to break down racial barriers. Jews and Greeks started to have meals together. No one had ever seen anything like this before when they came out of their huddle with the Holy Spirit with them. They started using this language for each other, brothers and sisters. They loved everyone like they were members of their family when they came out of the huddle, filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the kind of church that Jesus Christ came to start. That's the kind of power that you have. And I want to end with this. What happened 2,000 years ago when the Holy Spirit came alive can still happen today. And it's happening today. The Spirit of God is not dead. And I want to ask you to stand right now, because I want to ask you as a church, will you commit to being the kind of Christian who lives filled with Holy Spirit power? Will you commit to being a part of this church where the Holy Spirit is alive and working and changing this city and changing this country and changing this world? That's what the Holy Spirit does through you. I invite you into that right here at the Grove this morning. We love you, church.